What's up, everybody? It is just me today, Nick Moreno. Vince could not make it, which is sad because having a co-host makes this a lot easier. But we have a lot to talk about. We could not just skip a week. We are going to get back on this schedule here. But this weekend, we got the NFL playoffs. We have the Eagles versus Saints, Cowboys, Rams, which is probably going to be my favorite game of the week, besides, of course, the Chiefs. We have the Chargers versus the New England Patriots. But most important and dear to my heart, the Chiefs versus the Colts. But first, I got to ask myself one thing. Why are Chiefs fans so damn scared? The Colts are like the goddamn poltergeist to us, honestly. We are 0-4 against the Colts in four tries in the playoffs. It's not good. And like two of those games have just been terrible wins. I actually wrote a column this week on the website, put it up, called Chiefs vs. Colts, an oral history of playoff disappointment. It's not really an oral history. Give you that if you're going to be nitpicky. But let me walk you through some of the playoff losses. First one in my lifetime. I don't remember this at all, but it's going to be a little game called the Lynn Elliott game, which upon research is kind of bullshit. Here's why it's bullshit. First of all, before I knew about this, before I even started writing, I didn't know a damn thing about this game. I didn't know who was on the field, anything. So apparently, we started this man named Steve Bono at quarterback. Just not good. Like, he was up and down all season. Rich Gannon took took six starts that year, but Bono was named the starter for the playoff game. We started off 13-3, and the Colts are coming to town in what should have been a win. Another cool fact, Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback who was playing against us. It doesn't really matter. The game was 7-10. We lost that game. In this game, in the first half, in the first three quarters, Steve Bono threw three interceptions. Three interceptions, and I've never heard this referred to as the Steve Bono game. Nope. No, never heard that. Also, in looking back at this game, I watched a lot of the film, a lot of the highlights. Rich Gannon replaces Steve Bono because Steve Bono just is so terribly bad. We have 7 points through three quarters. Just nothing. No, he doesn't even have a touchdown. I think it's 0 points. So Rich Gannon comes in, scores the only touchdown. And on the drive that Elliott misses this last kick. Who, Elliott, by the way, man, like, why are you going on all these sports radio shows? You don't owe the people nothing. You don't owe us nothing. You missed some field goals in a game. You don't have to come back and apologize to Stephen St. John for that. No offense. So let's get back to this. On the same drive that Lynn Elliott misses this 42-yard field goal in a minus 15-degree wind chill on an icy field, I'm a Lynn Elliott defender. I truly am. I'm a Lynn Elliott defender. You might say that's dumb, but whatever. Because a couple plays before this, Rich Gannon puts one in the end zone, just lays it out from the 50-yard line on one of our receivers. His name is, again, had to look all this up, Lake Dawson. Puts it on his hands, dropped in the end zone. However many plays later, they get down to within a 42-yard field goal. Lynn Elliott, again, misses. In all these interviews he's given, he was talking about how icy it was and he can't plant. Lynn, quit apologizing. You don't owe us nothing. It's literally haunted him his whole life. That, I mean, I don't get why we do this to kickers. I don't get why we did this to Parkey last week. I mean, the ball was tipped, which arguably it's not like it's 100% off the kicker if the ball gets tipped, because you still got to kick it over some people. There's always going to be 11 dudes coming trying to stop it. Anyways, let's get back to Lynn. Lynn Elliott misses this field goal. And Chiefs fans are the worst. the absolute worst. Here's why I know Chiefs fans are the worst. So, my dad, at this time, he worked at a packaging manufacturer out in DeSoto. He said that one of his good friends at this place, get this, the dude's name is Lynn Elliott. And back in 1995 when this happened, you could just get in the phone book and find anyone's number, or so you thought. And a lot of people, they thought Lynn Elliott, the maintenance man, was Lynn Elliott, the place kicker. So Lynn Elliott, the maintenance man, got a lot of calls to Lynn Elliott, the maintenance man's house. So one thing I know about my dad is this, like my dad, like 100% judges people like on how, well, in just every aspect of their life. He's a very judgy person. Let's just say that. So my dad, here's how he described him. He said he was a religious man, a hard worker, a great guy, and just a nice person. My dad doesn't give these up to just anybody. My dad is stringent with these titles. Like, he's like getting in the Baseball Hall of Fame. You got to be like the shit to get these 10 titles. Like, my dad is very stringent with this. So this poor man is just receiving phone calls all night. The first of which, because he didn't know that people were going to fucking call his house. The first of which, his young daughter answers to like responses of, "Hey, little bitch, get your dad on the phone." Like, just uncalled for thing. So I even questioned my article whether that's just karmic payback for what happened. So anyways, let's get to the next Colts loss. I'm just trying to paint you a picture of why we are just not up for this game, and we're kind of scared. Chiefs fans just aren't. We're scared. That's all there is to it. So next one, 2003. The Chiefs again start off 9-0. They finish 13-3. The team is great. Dante Hall, Priest Holmes, Trent Green. The offense that year was ranked number one in DVOA efficiency. Like, that's crazy because the defense wasn't great, but the offense was that good. So we get the Colts after our bye, and Peyton Manning comes in and just puts on a clinic, but so does Trent Green. There was no punts in this game. The only two mistakes that the Chiefs made were Priest Holmes' lost fumble and Warren Anderson missed field goal. And those two mistakes led the Chiefs to another loss. Sad, right? Sad. So that's another one. That was probably the best game we played against the Colts in the playoffs too. So the next 3 years later, again, Trent Green starting the season. That's the famous concussion game. That year it happened in week one against the Bengals, a famous game that Trent Green went down with a concussion. Damien Hilliard comes in for the next 8 weeks and kind of balls out, goes 5-3. Not really terrible. Not really great. But Green came back and played bad enough for Chiefs fans to want him out. And his terrible playoff performance kind of led to that. I'm not saying him sticking around would have made the next 4 or 5 years better, but there was nothing good about the next 4 or 5 years. I used to look at it through the lens of, man, they should have gave Heward that job in the playoffs. But now looking back at it, Heward playing well and Green getting injured was the decline and the beginning of the dark days of Kansas City football. All right. I don't even want to talk about this next one. Oh, I didn't even talk about the game yet, did I? I didn't. So, that year was the most lopsided playoff game I have ever seen in my life. The opening kickoff, this is how I knew it was going to be bad. The opening kickoff, Dante Hall was fielding it, right? So the ball, it's not really a good kick. He kind of shanks it, and it goes and bounces around the five. And by, like, every single indication, like, everybody in the room I was watching it at, the ball's going out of bounds. We're going to get the ball at the 40. It's going to be great starting field position. It's going to be a great first drive, great start to the game. Nope. This ball took the most bizarre turn I've ever seen and bounced out the back of the end zone for a touchback. And it led to a devastating ass kicking. at the hands of Peyton Manning. We had 16 yards in the first half. 16 yards with not a single first down. Green finished that game 14-24, 107 total, with two interceptions and one touchdown. It was bad. The only playoff game I could think of that is worse than that one is the Ravens game. I went to the Baltimore Ravens playoff game. I believe that was in 2011. And we went up 7-0, but besides that, it was just a drubbing. And it was freezing cold. After the first half, I didn't want to be there. The whole crowd didn't want to be there. It was terrible. Anyways, let's look ahead to the next playoff loss against the Colts in the final one. I don't even want to talk about this. This is a disappointing moment in my life. It's up there. It's up there with dropping out of college for the first time. All of that. It's probably worse than dropping out of college. It's probably led to me. This is probably the reason I dropped out of college, because of this game. But anyways, let's walk through it. So, man, it's Andy Reid's first season. Alex Smith's in town. We start off 9-0. We're killing it. And then we finish season 11-5, which is not good. If you know anything about math, which I do. Wins we at the next seven games, we won two of them. And just literally, like, crawled into the playoffs. We had a good team. We had Jamal Charles. We had the last season of Dwayne Bowe, who is one of the most underrated Chiefs of all time. The boy was cold. He was cold. He needed a fall guy when he went to Sonic, but he was cold. But anyways, that team won the division. The division, remember, at that point was a pre-Peyton Manning division. It wasn't great. No, actually, we lost the division. I'm going to edit this out. Anyways, we lost the division to Peyton Manning, who had just started into his stranglehold over the AFC West. And we were in the playoffs going to the wild card game against the Colts. We thought we could beat Andrew Luck. We weren't sure. And then we just came out straight balling. Like, we went up 28 in the first half. Actually, in the third quarter, Nile Davis put us up 28 points. That game was over. I remember this because I was at my apartment in Lawrence. I was living in Lawrence at the time with my cousin Peter. And me and Peter, Lawrence is a very contentious place for Chiefs fans, because either you're a Chiefs fan or you hate people talking about the Chiefs, because most of the people there, a lot of people there are from Kansas City. So a lot of these Chicagoans, especially Chicagoans are the worst. The Chicagoans be talking mad shit about the Chiefs all the time, especially in Lawrence. I learned to hate Chicagoans because living in Lawrence. And I would never live there because of Chicagoans. And probably because of the freezing cold temperatures. We got it good here in Kansas City, y'all. We got it good. But anyways, we're up 28. I was at my apartment in Lawrence. I was like, Peter, yo, I'm going to go to my then girlfriend's house. There's no need for this day. Like, I know Jamal Charles went down early. Do you think we could win next week without Jamal? That's all we were talking about. Like, can we do it? We either get the Pats or the Broncos. Yeah, the Pats or the Broncos. I think we could do it. We don't need Charles. We got Nile Davis. He's cold. So anyways, I leave. Not proud of it, but I left. We were up 21 points. Went to my girlfriend's house. And turn on the TV when I get there. It's 41-24. It's enough. It's third quarter. We're good. They scored another touchdown, 41-31. You know what? I'm going to watch this game. I can't just not watch it. Early fourth quarter, Nile Davis goes down. Yo, we had Cyrus Gray taking like 100% of the snaps in the fourth quarter. We couldn't really run the ball. So, like, that's one of those that, you know, Andy Reid gets that clock management thing, but he has Cyrus Gray to hand the ball to. It wasn't who we needed to hand the ball to. So, and also, like, when Cyrus Gray's out there playing, like, we're thinking about next week, like, yo, we can't win with Cyrus Gray as a running back. We just can't. Can't happen. And then Luck. Andrew Luck. I don't know which one's worse. I think this one's probably worse. When Luck recovers the fumble at the 4 or 5 yard line and just literally waltzes into the end zone, like, through the line, untouched somehow. I don't know if that's worse or the Mariota touchdown pass to himself. Both equally heartbreaking. But I think this Luck one was worse because it was just, when this happened, like, it made it a 3-point game. The Mariota one was early enough so that we still thought the Chiefs would win. But this, it was just, you know, it was over. You knew it was over when someone scores a touchdown like that. You know, you don't. Teams that win games do not give up those type of weird plays. Those weird plays only happen to teams with the juju and God on their side. God. Yes, I said God. So T.Y. Hilton scores a game winner. The Chiefs can't get in field goal range, which we probably would have just blown anyways. I don't even know who the kicker was at that point, but this was a rough loss for me. I sat in front of the TV, devastated. Devastated, man. That sucked. I came home and Peter was sitting on the couch. I think I told this story at the last podcast, but the coffee table was tipped over. But, like, it was funny because, you know, Peter's a little dramatic. And I knew he didn't do that, like, in a haste. I knew it wasn't just like, oh, we lost. Immediately turned the table over. It was, he took some time because all the contents of the table were neatly placed on the side of the table so they wouldn't be broken. So, you know, Peter was fronting for that one. But anyways, man, this has some nerves out. You know, like, the Chiefs really, really, really need to win this game. I don't think we need to win the Super Bowl for the fans right now. Nor do I really believe that Patrick Mahomes is capable in his first year as a starter of going out there and facing the pressures that come with leading a team to 3 straight huge, huge wins in the playoffs. They're tough to come by. I'm not even trying to, like, downplay Mahomes' greatness because he's had one of the best first starting seasons in history. He's probably going to win the MVP, and he deserves the MVP. But, Patrick Mahomes is a young dude, and the playoffs are places where great quarterbacks have issues and fall apart. And I think there will be some growing pains, but that being said, we desperately need to win a damn home playoff game. Andy Reid needs this monkey off his back, right? Like, there's nothing the doctor can prescribe that'd be better than a win here. Andy Reid, for as great as he's been in the regular season, for as much as he's done for our franchise and the football program here in Kansas City, he hasn't won a home playoff game yet. Do you know what else he hasn't done? He hasn't won a playoff game at home. Oh, he's only won one playoff game. Sorry. He's won one playoff game this whole decade. And he's only won one conference championship in 20 years as a head coach in a Super Bowl that he was probably had the more talented team, and he was outcoached by Bill Belichick, who's had his number throughout the years, by the way. Bill Belichick has your number, Andy Reid. But anyways, Andy Reid really needs this. This clock management thing has broken him so many times. It even happened against the Chargers like less than a month ago. I was there. It was terrible. But it's not like he's on a hot seat or anything, but he just needs a win. He needs a playoff win. He needs to take us to the AFC Championship. And if you lose to the 6-seed Colts after one of the best historic offensive seasons of all time, Chiefs fans are not going to be more confident next year in you if you lose this game. I know we have Mahomes, but that doesn't mean you could just lose to the Colts in the first round. The defense needs to step up. Bob Sutton probably should have been out 2 years ago. But, you know, that's what he's living with. That's what we're doing right now. So, Kansas City, we need this one. Andy Reid, you need this one. Patrick Mahomes, even Patrick Mahomes needs this win because we've seen this, especially in the NBA, the longer you go without that playoff win, without some playoff cred, the more people are going to turn on you. We see this with so many players, man. So many players who are so good, and when it gets to the playoffs, they falter or fall apart for some reason. We saw this with Chris Paul in the NBA. We see this with James Harden in the NBA, as great as they are in the regular season. If you don't produce in the playoffs, people will notice that. People are going to call that out. The love that you get as a young, great quarterback goes away immediately when you don't get it done in the postseason. All right, now, I kind of just want to run through the last three games of the weekend. I spent a lot of time on the Chiefs because they're the hometown boys. They're my squad. I kind of got to show some love. So Cowboys at Rams, that's the 7:15 game at night on Saturday. The Rams are a 7.5-point favorite at the moment, which is absurd to me because nothing the Rams have done in the last month have shown me that they're that good. Sean McVay, the genius, is not looking so genius lately. And Jared Goff, remember we were talking about him at the MVP? Do you remember that? As soon as Cooper Kupp went out, he hasn't looked like that Jared Goff. Todd Gurley, banged up a little bit. And the Dallas defense, we saw last week, they're good. They can play. They can definitely get back there and disrupt people like Jared Goff, especially when he doesn't have all his weapons, when he doesn't have his whole tool belt. And remember, this genius, Sean McVay, has he won a playoff game? Honestly, let me look that up. I need to give a second to look that up because I don't think that the genius Sean McVay that people are hiring Cliff Kingsbury over for. Like, he hasn't won a playoff game. He lost to the Falcons last year. You remember that? The Falcons. They came in there and beat him. And do you really think that the Rams are going to have a home field advantage with the Cowboys in town? There's Cowboy fans everywhere. Like, I look out the window, I see three Cowboys. I'm just joking, but you know what I mean. They're everywhere. Cowboys fans are all over. And if a team like the Chiefs can go on the road there and make it look like it's half red, I think the Cowboys can go there and take over the whole stadium and turn that into a de facto home game for the Cowboys. Not really a home game, but you know, it's close. It's not really the home field advantage that you're looking for out there though, man. So anyways, the Rams have a lot to look good. I don't know. I just don't see it with the Rams. I don't think they're going to lose to this Cowboy team because I don't think that Dak Prescott has the offensive prowess or firepower to beat this Rams team point-wise, because I think that you're still going to have to put up some points. As shaky as Jared Goff has been, he still puts up points. And you have Aaron Donald on the other end, who doesn't like to let people put up points on him. And also... Jason Garrett's a coach over there. And I know I make fun of everybody calling Sean McVay a genius. Jason Garrett is the exact opposite of that. He had his job saved by the Amari Cooper trade, which, you know, in the last couple weeks hasn't looked so amazing. They won four games off his back, but like, that's it. Like, what else is he doing? What else does he look like? So my pick for that is still going to be the Rams. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people expect, and I think it's going to be a lot less scoring than people expect. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Next game, Sunday morning game, the noon game, which I hate that they do. I wish they had, if I was in charge, which I probably will never be. Definitely will never be. This game would be a 2 or 3 o'clock game. Probably a 2 o'clock game. Central time, of course. And the second game, we started around 5:30, 6. You know, it's a good time for football. Because last week when the game, when the 3 o'clock game ended at 6 and I didn't have any more football to watch, I didn't know what to do. I didn't. I just went home, went to sleep. I was like, man, this sucks. Anyways, Chargers at Patriots. Phillip Rivers, 0-7. 0-7 in his career against Tom Brady. It's not good. Remember the last time they played in the playoffs? I think this is the last time they played in the playoffs, at least. Phillip Rivers played on a torn ACL, which he does not get enough credit for. I know we say that all the time, you know, like, I'm not a media, I don't even call myself a media person, but you turn on ESPN and you're like, this man does not get the credit he deserves. Phillip Rivers really doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He is phenomenal. He's still one of the best out there doing it. Right now, he probably looks better than Tom Brady. I'll be quiet about that because I don't want the haters to come for me. But right now, he's probably a better quarterback than Tom Brady is. And New England, as good as they have been, who do they have? What weapons do they have, man? Like, Gronk looks like a shell of himself. They have just a conglomerate of okay running backs. Sony Michel's back there. James White. Do they have Amendola still? I really don't know if they have Amendola still, but I'm assuming they do. I'm assuming he does. And on the other side, Phillip Rivers got some bad dudes. Like, Keenan Allen's one of the best route runners in the league. And I mean, Keenan Allen makes defensive backs look terrible. He has people falling at his feet all the time. And not to mention on the defensive end, Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa attacking Tom Brady, who is the least mobile he's ever been. I don't know, man. I think that Phil Rivers might be able to turn the tide. And I really do think that the Chargers are going to go in there and win. But it's the Patriots, so who knows. Last game of the weekend, the Eagles, the last seed, the last team. Actually, they're not the last team, but they're the last seed in the playoffs. They're probably I think they have the worst record. And they're playing against the Saints, who they didn't limp into the playoffs by any means, but the last 3 weeks of football didn't look great for them, especially that win against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gave away, I think, more than the Saints actually won it. And the Eagles caught fire here at the end of the season with, once again, Nick Foles, who, yo, Vince, I know you ain't here, dog, but I told you Foles was going to do it. You didn't listen, though. You didn't listen. They played great, and it wasn't necessarily Nick Foles. He had a terrible first half. He, in the second half, made two huge drives that led them to the win. Micah Peters played. I really don't focus on the offensive line very much when I'm watching football. That's not the kind of dude I am, to be honest, but he held Khalil Mack in check. Khalil Mack wasn't ineffective. He was just in check. He was a normal player. He wasn't Khalil Mack that we've seen all year. They had a good pass rush against Trubisky. Made him make some mistakes. Michael Bennett. Cox. Chris Long. They all got after the quarterback, and the secondary made some big plays and looked good. So you have a team that's rolling against the Saints team that, mind you, is at home in the dome, where you definitely want Drew Brees to be because that's where he's best at. They are at home against a surging Eagles team that I don't know. I definitely wouldn't take the point spread for the Saints if I were you, because he'd be giving up 8 points, and I do not really believe that they're going to dismantle the Eagles in that way. I think it's good that Drew Brees has some rest. I don't think he's one of these people that is going to do bad with rest. I think he's one of the people that needs rest and can get ready for a game that easily. So Drew Brees is going to be playing against a really, really good secondary. And if the Eagles' D can get the pressure that they did last week against Trubisky, I think it's going to be hard for Brees to move the ball indoor or outdoor. It's rough. I think there's going to be a whole lot going on. I think that Foles just brings some. He's not like a magician. He didn't play great, but I think he just brings some type of energy to the Eagles that Carson Wentz doesn't. And we've seen Nick Foles play some perfect games in the playoffs in big moments before. And they're the champs. If you're hosting the champs, the champs aren't coming in there with a scared mindset. They did this before. They did this last year with a lot of the same players. They don't necessarily have the running game that they did before, which is one area that I am definitely, definitely wary about with the Eagles. But I'm not scared of them for the Saints. I do think the Saints are going to win this game. But I think this might be one of the best games of the weekend. So, that is going to wrap up my solo attempt at doing this podcast. I know I spent 20 minutes on the Chiefs and 10 minutes on the last three games. But it had to be done. So, everybody, thank you for listening. Please subscribe on whatever way you get your podcast if you haven't already. I appreciate it. Please review us. Give us 5 stars. That would be awesome. It might get our clout out there a little more. We also have the WNKC Twitter page, Instagram page, which doesn't have any posts yet. The Twitter page has a few. We're getting there. But please give us a follow. Give us a retweet. All of that helps us so much. And, just thanks for listening. Go Chiefs. Happy Red Friday.